right. This is the April 10th, 2023 meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm calling this meeting into session. First, I'd like to take the roll call. John, could you do that?
Yes, good evening.
And I'll help to correct you if you don't have an up-to-date list.
No, I think I got it while we've been waiting. I think I got it together, and I got them alphabetized. All right, James Dingman.
Here.
Fred Dodsworth.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Donna Grimes. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
James McFadden.
Is not on this committee.
He's no longer on the committee.
No longer on the committee?
No.
All right, hold on a sec. James Sagerton.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Nancy.
He's not here.
And Elizabeth von Guten.
Here. Here.
Is that everyone,
There's Egberto Willis. He's not here. And Julie Hewitt, she's here.
Right.
And I wanted to mention Bill Foster.
Oh, yes. Bill Foster is not here either. Bill Foster is the affiliate person. He's not here.
In between Dodsworth and Gray.
Right. Correct.
All right, Bill.
Heather's actually the vice chair now, so she's on for that reason. All right. Anyway, I don't have any excuse absence requests, but I make a motion to excuse everybody who's not here.
Beth seeks recognition.
Is there any objections to that?
This is Beth. I object to the agenda item because, as we've pointed out every month that it's been on the agenda, which is to say every month, we don't do excused absences in committee. It's an unnecessary item. And so could I move that we remove that item from this and all future agendas, please?
All right. Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. All right.
I second that motion.
All right. Any objections? All right. Hearing none, let me move forward. Now, all of you got minutes for the two meetings. There was an open session and a closed session. John, when did you send those?
I sent them on Saturday, but only to the old board members. So not everyone has them, but I don't really expect them to vote on them. So
I actually restructured them, sent them off as PDFs to the new people too.
Yeah.
So did everybody get them? Okay. I make a motion that we approve first. What's the open meeting minutes? What date is that?
March 13th.
March 13th. All right. I make a motion. Does anybody second that? Oh, we don't have to second in committees. Okay. Any objections? All right, hearing none. I move to accept the closed executive session minutes from that date. Any objections to that? All right, hearing none. Let's assume that they're passed. Okay, so let's move on to the approval agenda. Does anybody have anything they want to add or anything they want to put in the mix here that I haven't put in? All right, hearing no objections, no objections. All right, hearing none, the agenda is accepted. All right, let's move to the next agenda, which is nomination of officers for this term for chair and vice chair. Isn't tight. All right, does anybody have any nominations they want to make or whatnot?
Well, I move for Jim Dingman to be chair.
All right. Does anybody else want to be chair? All right.
I'll be.
Oh, Alex, you want to run?
Yeah, I'm gonna nominate myself.
All right. Fine. Alex nominates him.
This is Beth. I'll put my name forward, and I would point out, I think it's that people who are not technically members of the committee can serve as secretary or treasurer if we had such a thing, but that both chair and if there were such a thing as a vice chair of a committee, then that I think that's Robert's rules reserves that those for the, those two positions.
No, there's no such restriction in a committee, but you're thinking of the bylaws, which talks about the chair of the board and so on.
It's every other board right. I've known that was been run by Robert's rules.
All right. Well, we can clarify all that. That's not a big deal. So we got Alex, myself, and Beth. Anybody else?
This is Beth. I would just like to point out that Pacifica bylaws also stipulate that any of our elections have to provide for write-in candidates.
Okay, fine. It's all right. Cool. All right. So,
Jim, this is James. Can I be recognized?
Yeah, go on, Jim.
Yeah, I called Nancy, and I just called. I did call Alex, and I called Lyndon, and I'm about to try and get in touch with Chris.
All right.
We don't have – Nancy's not here. We don't have great attendance tonight. I didn't get a notice. I don't know if anybody else didn't
Actually,
get a notice. I was just wondering if maybe we should leave this open until next time, but that's just a thought.
We do have a pretty good attendance tonight, Jim. But I'm perfectly comfortable with moving
Chair.
Forward. Go on, Fred.
We have quorum here. I would like to proceed with normal business.
All right, fine. All right. Now, any nominations for vice chair?
Are we required to have a vice chair?
I don't think we are.
Alex, yes.
Never heard of a vice chair for a committee.
All right, so, okay, so is it necessary or not? I mean, Alex is the person who created this committee.
I never heard of such. You need a chair and a secretary, basically.
Well, we have a secretary with John.
Okay.
All right, so, okay, so we don't need a vice chair. Would that be the consensus, everybody? Do I have any objections to that?
None.
Okay, fine. So let's move on. So we'll have to do this by OPA vote. And we'll clarify the whole question of Alex and get that straightened out.
Just to know from my point of view, I got to make sure I have a OPA vote account, and I am not 100% certain how to do write-in candidates during the OPA vote process. So if somebody has to be a member of the committee, that will make it easier because I'll just list everyone. So I need the answer to that question before I can proceed to set up the OPA vote.
All right. We'll make sure that that's clarified. Yeah, go on, Beth.
Thank you. I was going to address the same issue that I have not been responsible for administering an OPA vote before, but my understanding is that the limitation of its use in Pacifica is that it doesn't provide for a write-in vote. I hadn't heard the creative workaround that was just mentioned. That may be possible, but I think that's why we always end up back with the standard Pacifica tellers for these elections, because that way they can provide that option for people.
Yeah, and so I know at WBAI, they had this same issue come up. And the way they worked around it was to literally list every board member as a candidate, and you knew who was nominated, who was not. Thus, you could write in someone else.
All right. Well, I guess we could do it by STV votes, do it through Terry. I would think none of us object to that, correct? That would allow write-in votes if we want them?
If all the candidates are listed, yeah.
All right. So we can contact Terry and get this organized and get this finished in the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks more than enough time for that?
Yes.
Okay, fine. All right, so we'll do that. We'll get that that straightened out. All right, let's move to the next item.
Hold on, Jim.
Yeah, go on, Alex.
Do we get to speak about why we want to be chair? I mean,
you're
just going to have a vote with nobody knowing anything about who's running.
All right, go on, Alex. But let's go on. Go to it. Go for it.
Okay. Well, I created this committee back in 2016, 2017. I was the chair of the committee until I left the board in January 2022. And I think I would like to be back as chair. I think the committee needs a better focus than it has shown over the last year, frankly. My vision of the committee is that it will be a kind of a driving force in Pacifica for change and for some initiatives that are desperately needed. I don't see this as a committee that is just going to sort of sit around and talk. And I think there were some good initiatives from this committee last year, but frankly, not enough. So that's why I'm throwing my hat into the ring once more.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Beth, do you want to make a comment?
Sure. Yes. I've been through the strategic planning process on a number of other boards, and I would be interested in seeing a more systematic, methodical process, strategic planning process in place than what we've had in this is my third year on this committee. I'd like something scheduled more reliably and predictably. I've put a call into a friend who works for the nonprofit graduate program at Pepperdine, who conducted one of these strategic planning processes on a board I sat on years ago, to ask whether he's still providing that kind of training and process. And he will know who has funded his work in the past. I'm hoping that there would be a capacity building grant of some kind available for that process that would include not just the handful of people on this committee, but the processes I've seen used in the past included kind of a needs assessment and input, a survey of the staff on one hand, the management separately, the board separately, possibly even membership or listenership. That might be a stretch given the size, but at least something more inclusive with several steps and input from everyone at all those levels that's been synthesized into a working draft, and we all come together and hammer it out, set the priorities from that inclusive process, a much more systematic, comprehensive process. Sort of that, to me, it feels like what we've been doing on this committee pretty much since I got here was just sort of working through a wish list of all our favorite, you know, possibilities, but without any real process behind it to get it up off the ground and going. And it means, too, that even if we have managed to adopt something, we don't have much mandate other than just ourselves. I think a more inclusive process would help us be able to point to a mandate, an organization-wide mandate for the kind of systematic change I think we need, we're ripe for. Thank you.
All right, I'll be very quick. Good points, Alex raised, and both Beth raised. We have to do all those things, and I do agree that this committee could be a force for change in the system. We're confronted with one weekly crisis after the next. We need structural change in a dramatic way, revolutionary change, frankly. And, you know, in order to survive, there has to be a lot done. And there's a lot of parts in this to sort of put together. One committee needs to be working, I believe, holistically with all the other committees. But all fair points to make. And I'm just wanting to run again. I have a lot of experience in this issue in the academy and other things. I've been sort of involved with more traditional strategy teaching for most of my adult life. Pacific is daunting and again, requires a lot of work. And I'm sure that whoever comes out will do a good job. Thank you. All right. So let's move to the next issue here. Is anybody else? We're finished with this. Okay, let's move to the next issue, and that's an update on the CPB, and I'll take 2 minutes to do that. It's what I was explaining earlier. We are going to, it looks like we're going to, a serious effort is now being mounted to finish the application. Corporation for Public Broadcasting Community Service Grant. It turns out today, I just learned literally a few hours ago, that the deadline has been moved up from May 24th to May 8th. So that means that the necessity to get it done is now on sort of has a timeline of approximately 3 weeks. Now, just to let the listener members know, there's been a lot of work being done to educate staff, certainly work with the ED. I've been working with the ED on this issue since last fall, and we're going to start tomorrow, in fact, training and working with the various general managers and people in the paid staff responsible for doing this to get it done. So it's not a daunting task. It's a hard task, but it'll get done, and hopefully everybody will cooperate to get it done. Any comments about that? Anybody want to add something to that before I move to the next item?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go on, Alex.
There should be some kind of an organizational chart as to who's going to do what, who's reporting to who, and that kind of stuff. Has that happened?
What is going to be done with this first application, it's going to be a system-wide application. It's not going to be an application per station. So it's
I understand, but somebody has to be in charge of
getting
the nuts and bolts together.
Executive director is in charge. And and that's how it is at this point in time. She's in charge.
So maybe we should hear from the executive director as to the progress.
Well, the progress is basically what I told you. I've sort of been part of this process now for ever since November. I've been pushing this process.
Well, I know you've been publicizing it a lot, but I'm just concerned about what's actually happening from Pacifica management to make sure this gets done.
Right. Well, tomorrow, as I say, there is a meeting that will be held with the general managers and the paid staff responsible for this. And let's see what comes out of that meeting. That's the first meeting that's going to be accompanied with the assistance of a general manager from a radio station in our affiliates who's volunteered to help us walk through the process. That's what's going on.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
Jim, who in the affiliates are you referring to? Do you know?
I'm referring to a gentleman from one of our affiliates in New Mexico.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Richard Sound, to be explicit.
He's the general
manager of KUMN Radio in Santa Fe, and we've been reserving him for the past couple of months precisely for this moment.
Thank you.
And he's all gung-ho. All right. Anybody else want to talk about this, or shall we move on? All right. Hearing no objections, I'm going to move on. Now, I wanted to just quickly talk about, there is an item here that I'll put it on the screen here. And that's the use of the Strategic Planning Working Group. I just want to spend a few minutes on that. I was using it last year as a town hall mechanism for us, because people do complain that there's no public comment in some of the PNB meetings. Like, for example, in the past, when you used to come to these meetings, you would have them in person. It was public comment, pretty robust. And so I've been using that particular little item there, the strategic planning working group, as a way to have town halls. And that's what I'd want to continue to occasionally have town hall meetings that would be advertised and open to anybody to come, where they could, you know, share their opinions about what's going on. But anyway, that's what I wanted to throw in there. That's the use of it, and that's what I've been using it for. Are there any comments about that? I allocated just a couple minutes.
Yeah, Jim.
Go on, Alex.
I think the idea of town halls is a really good idea, but I don't think it works too well on a committee level. I think the Pacific National Board should be sponsoring regular town hall meetings where people should be able to comment and exchange their ideas on, you know, a lot of general issues. A lot of people who attend PNB meetings or follow them or LSB meetings are, so, you know, they're interested in programming, they're interested in their local station, what's going on there. I don't know. I mean, there may be a few people who are interested in strategic planning and have some ideas about it, but I think that's probably a more esoteric subject. But in any case, I just think it would work better if it was sponsored by the Pacifica Board. And when I was chair, we did begin a process for regularly scheduled town hall meetings by Zoom. And we had a couple, but it sort of fell away after a while. I think it would be good if that was just revived. So I would say that let's bring that idea up to the board, and let's have some regularly scheduled town hall meetings sponsored by the board.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex. Beth?
Thank you. Yes. I have nothing against public input into processes, but I think it needs to be handled more systematically, more regularly. I think when we scatter pretty random task forces across the entire calendar for months at a time, that it makes it difficult. But our calendar's already crowded, trying to coordinate between the national board and the national committees and local boards and local committees. And it's when time slots get double booked or booked in such a way that one meeting steps on the beginning or end of another meeting, it knocks out attendance at both. And I know that the development task force has been hit hard that way over the past year. The audit committee was scheduled on at the same time once, but that was just once. And then these strategic planning task forces managed to hit us a few times, and our attendance has been knocked from on average about 15 per meeting to more like the same handful of 5 or 6 people each time. And so I'm looking for a way to sort of try to make our calendar more regular and predictable. And I could get behind something like what Alex proposed, where if it were sanctioned by the PNB and people had the option to at least had the opportunity to have input into when and where they were scheduled, and they were broader so that it might be more inclusive of issues for the whole board or greater membership than maybe. I don't actually appreciate a plethora of unauthorized random meetings scattered across the calendar. For me, it's not helpful.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Fred, go on. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I do. I'm on the LSB for the KPFA and on the PNB. And the LSB for the KPFA, we do have town hall meetings at the end or the opportunity for public comment. And it's my unfortunate experience that most of the people who do show up at the town hall or at least the public comment era are also found on the lawsuit that's currently filed against the network out of LA. The other thing I've discovered on the KPFA LSB section where we left a public comment is that it's overwhelmingly represented by WBAI members. And the last thing I'd like to say about that was that overwhelmingly week after week after week after meeting, the same people say the same things over and over and over again. So I'm really not excited about being subjected to more of that on this strategic planning committee. In fact, my fantasy about the strategic planning committee is that it would be strategic and it would be planning. And that was to say that they would not be responding to this week's catastrophe, that we would try to figure out a way to get around responding to this week's catastrophe to actually come up with a plan that would make the entire network successful.
All right, those are good ideas. Okay, so obviously people aren't too turned on to do that. Okay, so let's move on.
Ben, for the cut.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, first I want to disagree with Fred's characterization of the dominance of people from another station and his public comment section of his meetings. I've listened to those meetings, and I didn't find that to be the case. But second of all, I find myself in some strange agreement with Fred about having the strategic planning create a strategic plan. So I think I was on the phone calling some people while nominations were being made and while you were doing some introductory remarks, Jim. And I think I may have caught you mentioning Stephanie's strategic plan that she put out, or maybe that was before the meeting started when I was trying to call people to get people onto this.
Yes, correct. I did not talk about that in open session. Okay, go on.
Okay, very good. But I, you know, I hope that we can focus on that and get some actual strategic planning done. I realize we've been in crisis for some time now, and so we feel like the strategic planning is immediate kind of planning, but maybe it's time we start to look at a middle ground, not just an immediate, but a middle ground. And, you know, maybe at some point we can get to some distant strategic planning, but we should at least be looking at not just immediate, but middle ground, middle distance strategic planning. And I agree that it should not be the focused on whatever the topic of the day is, you know, what the crisis of the moment is exclusively. We have to deal with some of that, but that shouldn't be the focus. This should not be a topical committee. It's strategic planning.
Right. Okay. Let me before I move to the next thing, just quickly respond. Well, remember that the past year we've had one damn thing after the next that has obfuscated any kind of process like that. And plus, what are we basing a strategic plan on? But let me move to the next item here, which is just talking about, short-term strategic goals or strategic goals in general, which we're sort of now blending into. And let me just riff a little bit on this. We have the outline of all the different problems in the system. We have low audience, we have low revenue, which makes talking about strategic plans in the absence of how to change that sometimes seem like a interesting intellectual exercise, but not based on the practicality that we're a broadcasting institution and we have to actually figure out ways to jumpstart that. That's the basis. That's the content of what we do here. That's one point. Second point is that I noticed when Alex and others were doing this, they would, you know, come up with short-term strategic goals, which I thought was a good idea. And I was thinking about, okay, what are our short-term strategic goals right now? What do we want to accomplish in the next 3 to 6 months? As opposed to looking at a longer point of view, because one could engage in all sorts of strategic plans. I bring back the argument that I remember the only time I ever saw a strategic plan in Pacifica before this was back in the early 90s, and that was a strategic plan that came out of the national office that basically helped induce a 10-year rebellion that led to their overthrow. And so how do we handle the situation right now? Anyway, I'm sort of open to people jumping into what they think our short-term goals should be right now, or what kind of planning process should we put in motion that will try to avoid getting caught up in the nitty-gritty of one crisis after the next, which we cannot ignore, as opposed
James,
to where do we move out of this? Go on, James.
Yeah, I want to agree with one of the things that you've been doing for many years, and you do it everywhere you go, whatever committee or community advisory board you show up in. You talk about the programming, you talk about the financial crisis that we have because the programming isn't attracting a sufficient audience to give us the number of members we need to provide the revenue to pay for all of this stuff. So I fully support you in that, and I don't mind using the Strategic Planning Committee to forward that goal that you've got of getting the information from the stations about which programs are bringing in how much money in which time slots, and figuring out how to improve that, because that really is, it's survival planning. Again, talking about the short term, it is survival planning. We need to figure out how to increase our revenue, and it really does come down to the programming. It's involved with promotion, and it's involved with production and other things, but it's really about the programming and what is attracting or not attracting an audience. So we need that data in order to do any kind of short-term strategic planning. So I support you in that effort.
All right. Thank you. Go on, Fred. Got on mute, man.
My question is, don't we have access to the information as to which programs at which stations actually generate how much revenues? And if we don't have that, I consider that to be an incredible failure of our executive staff. And if we do have it, then why is it not widely available? And what are we doing to see that those programs that actually generate money, cash, members, are not replicated across the network, at least in a trial basis? I know that we have a little problem in LA because we have a hour slot every night that can't seem to be filled in a way that is successful. So maybe there should be a different program there. I know I've heard the general manager complain about that, and a lot of other people complain about how there's no one to fill that slot except the person that's been doing it for the last few months. And I'm just wondering why we don't have that actual monetary data that would allow us to make some plans that could be migrated across all the networks to see whether they would work there.
Go on, Alex,
and then Beth, go on.
Okay. One of the things I find frustrating is that we've had the outlines of a strategic plan for a long time on this committee, and people are acting as if we have to start all over again from scratch each time this committee is reconstituted on a yearly basis. And I just find that extremely frustrating. We have had many discussions about strategic goals, both short-term, mid-term, and long-term. And we've tried to develop certain initiatives on, well, we haven't, admittedly, we haven't done too much work about long-term plans. We have some idea of what they should be. We have done quite a bit of work about midterm goals, as well as short-term being, for instance, getting the CPB application done, having emergency fund drives, things are selling an asset when our vendors are on our back, things like that. But it's true, we don't want to confine the committee to simply reacting to immediate events and emergencies. Although I think the committee should be able to do that as well, because for the simple reason that there's no other body in Pacifica that's really mandated to do that. But we have had some goals for some midterm planning. One of them was, for instance, to diversify our revenue streams We took a very small step in that direction last year when we created a pilot program for a kind of a
underwriting.
Some people insist on calling it corporate underwriting. It's not corporate underwriting. That's really a minor player in all this. Most of the public radio relies to a great extent on podcasting these days for revenue outside of the listener screen, as well as underwriting. We're never going to have achieve the underwriting capacity that the large PBS stations are achieve, because we're not going to go to those petroleum-based corporations for money. So that's obvious. But it could help a bit. But I really think we have to focus our attention on making podcasting a subscriber service throughout the zip code. That is a possibility. It does involve some investments. We all know that. And we've been talking about that for a while, but a little has been really done to make that happen. I was hoping we could take a few steps in that direction once we have some funds to invest. And that was kind of based on something that isn't happening at the moment. But in any case, providing that will happen in the future, we need to be able to invest some money for the purpose of creating new revenue streams. The other thing is Pacifica is way, way behind in taking advantage of the multimedia infrastructure that pretty much all the radio stations use today. We can't just be a platform on terrestrial radio. We have to have a presence on the internet. We have to have streamers, for instance, that represent Pacifica on Patreon or Twitch or whatever. There's lots of possibilities. And of course, we all recognize that we have to do something about programming. One thing we've been discussing, and everybody voted for it, not been implemented, and that's developing some Pacifica national programming that would go along with a branding of Pacifica so that people really know about Pacifica. We had that to some extent when we had the Pacifica Network News many years ago, and to some extent when Democracy Now! Was identified with Pacifica. It really is no longer particularly identified with Pacifica, and you can listen to Democracy Now! And many other platforms in Pacifica radio stations, unfortunately. So we need to develop our own thing once again. And again, that will involve some kind of an investment for our future. So that's the kind of things I think we should be discussing. And I'm really frustrated that people are acting as if this has never been brought up in this committee and we've had no plans to do that.
All right. Well, I'm frustrated because all these things that Alex listed, I've been bringing up for 20 years. So I'm super frustrated. And then just to deal with what Fred brought up, I spent a year and a half battering my way trying to get that information from the stations to no avail. And you're right, of course, we need that kind of concrete data now even more. But all these things are actually things that we have to do with the national programming, the issue of multi-platforming, podcasting, et cetera. Indeed, we have to spend a lot of time figuring out how to get that implemented in this resource-less environment we're operating in. Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I would point out that the financial crisis deprives us of options. So there aren't a lot of choices to be made, or if there are choices, it's between, the frying pan and the fire. It's the nature of being dead broke is that all the better options are out of reach. And so until we make it past this financial bottleneck, there really aren't a lot of better options. That being said, I agree with Sagatin that we do, it's not like we haven't known we need to address programming, but we need to do more than just talk about it. We need to find a way to get some traction on this. I would point out that even when we do, even if we manage to get excellent changes in place, that's still a mid to long-term prospect because that doesn't pan out immediately. It takes time to build an audience and to develop programs and all of that. So yes, we need to implement something pretty much straight out of the gate here, but we can't count on that to fill our coffers in this month or next, or probably even yet this year. And I would point out that there is a programming committee, and I would think, I mean, I haven't been on the programming committee. I chair the local programming committee, which, given KPFK's disorder these last couple of months, has not been meeting. But I haven't chaired the national, or I haven't been a member of the national committee, so I'm not sure what their focus has been. But I would look to them to put together some kind of a strategic initiative of their own about programming and bring it forth to the PNB so that we can provide the mandate that it'll take to get it accomplished. And beyond that, in short, medium, and long term, I think we need a serious systematic focus on revenue. Having sat on the National Finance Committee now for this is my third year, there's a tendency within Pacifica to look to recognize that the ledger is not balanced and to look to the expense side of the ledger to try to bring ourselves into order. And so we cut and cut and cut because there's no money without ever really addressing the other side of the ledger and taking concrete actions, organized actions, prioritized actions to increase revenue, to come up even with a plan, let alone actions. So I'm going to be focusing on that in the next, this year.
Right.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, they're gone, Fred. Go on again, Fred.
Okay, I want to know if you can tell me, if anyone here can tell me, Beth's on the finance committee, so I'm rather hoping she can tell me, if you guys are getting data from the local stations as to what programs are generating the largest revenues. And I also, since Heather's on our thing, and I think Heather's part of the affiliate network, maybe I'm wrong.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Then I would, first off, I'd like to know from just the five stations, which programs are actually generating money and who's supposed to know that and how is that information communicated? And then Heather, please, I understand we have some large number of affiliates and I'm sure that some of your affiliate stations have good programs. Why can't we encourage the moving of a program that generates sums in a niche market to one of our markets that is not meeting its goals and see if it doesn't run, see if it doesn't blossom. You know, Democracy Now started off in one place and it became a huge moneymaker, unfortunately, for the people involved in Democracy Now. But it's not doing much for us as it could be.
Thank you, Fred. Heather.
Oh, I actually, yes. So I was involved with the program committee last year, and I am this year as well. We're planning on having a meeting, beginning our program committee meetings next week. I'm hoping next Tuesday, actually, we'll start meeting again. So I appreciate the ideas, Fred. And so I'd like to talk with you more about that. And I appreciate the comments from everyone. Actually, I just need to reflect upon all this. So I look forward to getting additional information. But there's not much I can say right now, Jim, because we need to start meeting and see where people are on all of this. One of the things we tried to do last year was to explore the possibility of having a lot of programs on political prisoners in the U.S. But anyway, so we had a couple of really interesting sessions, national sessions about that. I don't know that we've really gone forward on it. So I think what I'd be interested in doing this year is making sure that when we have meetings, we have program directors from all the various stations attending as well, and or to begin that process with them. I'd like to see about doing that. But so, Fred, that's all I can say right now. We're going to start again and appreciate people's ideas and how we move forward on all of this. That's all I can say right now, Jim.
Point of information.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't gotten an answer to that question. Who has that data?
No one has that data.
So even at the stations, that data is not available?
The stations have that data. It just is that they have not, for some reasons, unbeknownst to me, the only stations that cooperated was VAI. To some extent, Los Angeles cooperated. We got information occasionally from KPFT, not much any information at all from Los Angeles. Excuse me, from Berkeley. In fact, I was threatened with lawsuits when I was making these inquiries. PFW did not cooperate. And part of it has to do with we just have to simply have the executive director or director order this information to be given. Because
let me
finish the comment. You know, this is something absolutely absurd because we need this kind of data right now in order to figure out how revenue streams can be increased and improved. Go on, Al.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know that WBI has such information because I've seen the reports, and we get Fund Drive revenue broken down by program, even by time of day, and so on. It's available. I don't know why. I'm not the main recipient, but I can certainly ask our general manager to send it to you.
Thank you.
I don't know why we can't get that information from the other stations. But we should absolutely
look into that at KPFA.
Yeah, we absolutely should have it. I agree.
Yeah, particularly at this point in time. In fact, I raised it at a PND meeting a few days ago about this. Go on, Beth.
Yes, I think it has to do with proper channels. The way to request that information is to go through management, is to ask Stephanie. Stephanie's the one who would be responsible ultimately for seeing to it that each of those stations, each of those general managers has that information available and provides it to the PNB through her. That what I've been taught in board training is that the board has, in effect, one employee, and that's the executive director in this case, that if we have requests, or especially if we have demands, that those should go through Stephanie, and she would be the one held accountable for that, rather than for each director to go beating the bushes for what they want on their own, because that, in effect, gives every general manager 22 bosses, and that sets us up for liability for because we are not the proper chain of command.
Hold on, Fred, let her finish. Go on.
That's probably the way the general managers understand it too. That is standard personnel practice and policy and protocol. So I would suggest putting it to Stephanie and have her go after the information. She's the one in a position to hold the general managers accountable. Thank you.
I would like that on the agenda for the next PNB meeting. I would like to have a motion that we have that information distributed to the PNB members. Julie Hewlett's on this call right now.
We have a motion that was put into practice last year. We could resuscitate that. You know, you could draft a motion. I would totally support it. It was ignored by most of the general managers and resented. Frankly, we're the PNB members are responsible. We have fiduciary responsibility legally for the foundation. So to not get that kind of information, especially at a critical time like this, is absurd. Now, I just wanted to mention something. Yeah, go on, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to caution everyone here. We're on a open call, and we don't want to get into criticizing or evaluating performance of various staff members in a public meeting.
All right.
But I will say that historically, that information has been guarded like it was the secret of Fort Knox or something. And that needs to change. We need to get this information. And I also just wanted to caution Fred, while I agree that we should experiment with programming from the different stations at the other stations, and I've also always said we should take programming from the affiliates because we know there's some great programming from the affiliates out there. In fact, I propose we should have a national requirement of 1 hour from each of the stations to play something, you know, play selected quality programs from the affiliates. But programming doesn't always translate from one audience to another, and it takes some time for a show to find its niche and to find its audience, so you don't always get immediate results. But having said that, we have many, many programs on all of our stations that bring in virtually no donations and have virtually no audience. So what can we lose? What is there to lose by replacing some of those programs that have not been performing for years in some cases with programs that are successful at other stations and just giving it a try? This is something I've been suggesting for a while, and you know, people seem to nod their heads in agreement, but then, you know, again, without evaluating our employees here publicly, not much seems to happen.
Well, one of the solutions to that, and this raises the issue that Alex raised, and I've been arguing this for like since 2000, since I encountered the Independent Media Center phenomena coming out of Seattle demonstrations, the multi-platforming issue. There's ways to handle I'll get to you in a second, Alex. There's ways to handle this issue in a sane way where we could have different channels on each station, and shows that aren't necessarily performing that well can be, you know, turned into podcasts. And it's not pejorative, because podcasts, I have friends of mine who created podcasts that have literally tens of thousands of people listening to them. Now, the podcasting issue to me is a really interesting issue. And again, we have allies up the wazoo to help us on this question. I think of the person who actually created the name podcasting. He offered to help us, and I put that forth at one point, and nobody acted on that. And at the same time, the podcasting issue comes into question, is it the silver bullet for shows that nobody listens to? I don't think so. If somebody's doing a show that only gets 200 to 300 to 400 people a show listening to it, oh, is it magically transformed into something that's like Cinderella as a result of a podcast? Hell no. It's not going to work. So that gets down into the question of how do we improve what we're doing on the air? And that really, like, you know, Berkeley's the only station. We can, you know, they have like, they got that training set program that they got from San Francisco, 90,000 a year. They have the example of the apprentice program that they discontinued, but also has a lot to learn from. And there are things we can think about doing, perhaps system-wide, that can be that can improve the quality of the air. Go on, Alex.
Yeah, I think some of the obstruction, maybe that's not the right word, some of the fear that people have of moving programming around is based on like an old model of what we have as broadcasts, that we have very limited resources. These are the frequencies and the times of day. And if you lose a spot, you're gone forever. That really is no longer the case with the multimedia technology that we have today. And it used to be the thinking when we first stepped into the internet or subcarrier HD channels and stuff like that, that, you know, the primary programs will be on the broadcast radio, and the ones that aren't doing so well, we can offload them to the internet and HD channels and so on. That's still the case, but in this day and age, you have to understand that if a program on the internet could actually have more of an audience than on the broadcast channel, and yeah, could make more money. And we have had examples of people who used to have programs on our broadcast channel who went over to Patreon or YouTube or something, and they've got a huge audience, and they're making a lot of money. This is really something that we have to think a lot better about. There should be absolutely no reason why we can't move programming around in this day and age, and nobody should feel that left out. There are almost infinite possibilities for reaching an audience if you have something to say that somebody wants to listen to.
James, my favorite example of the show that we should have taken was the car show out of Boston. It was such a great success on NPR. They actually approached WBAI first to go on the air, and that was a mistake. That was, you know, imagine if we retained that show. And it doesn't deal with politics. It deals with repairing cars. But a lot of people have cars. Go on, Fred.
I'd like to remind everybody that we have five stations. That the five stations cover 25% of the voting population of the United States, and each of them are located in major urban areas with colleges and local unions. And the fact that, that in San Francisco, we have unions that are helping train people is a nice thing, but every one of these stations has a communication workers union in its community that can help train people how to do these things. And they have colleges and junior colleges and local community radio and local community television that can also help us do these things. And so I think that one of the things that needs to happen is that we need to get the people here and the people involved in each of the stations to try to build alliances with those sorts of organizations in their community that can help us build a better network.
Right. Again, something we've argued many times. Anyway, Jim, Heather, go on.
Jim, can you put me on the stack, please?
Yeah, sure. After Heather. Go on, Heather.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to mention that I appreciate the comments about programs on affiliate stations. So I want to continue doing whatever I can to get information for this committee on that, as well as the programming committee. So, Jim Damian, I'm going to talk with you about that a little bit later and see what we could do to coordinate that, okay?
Right. And then the affiliates, of course, just to reinforce what was said earlier by Fred and Heather, they've got some – it's amazing to go and talk and listen to what they do. I mean, Ursula does a great job with her affiliate program. And they're always a positive up because they are – not entwined with all the mishigosh that goes on within the network. It's actually a very positive thing to listen to. But anyway, have we exhausted this?
James?
Yeah, oh, Jim. Sorry, Jim. Hold on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as everybody knows here, that the biggest broadcaster in the world is YouTube. Not that hard to get on there. It actually does jack up the awareness and the participation, the viewing of your programs by multiple times just by going to YouTube. So even with some of our programs that don't find a radio audience and don't raise donations, take them to YouTube and they might.
All right. I have a YouTube station.
It's not that hard. Little kids do it. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Right. What are you going to say, Fred?
I have a YouTube station and my kids have YouTube stations.
There you go.
Well, and also something just to mention about a YouTube channel streaming thing, because I'm doing that too. You really need people who can stream you. who are good engineers. And that's another issue. You know, everybody's complaining about the lack of engineers. And when I, back in the day, when one's doing analog radio, everybody would argue one of the things that's important for somebody doing analog radio is one, go through the news department at a station,
okay,
because you learn how to do short pieces, edit, et cetera. And two, learn how to operate master control, because learning how to operate master control is sort of like you're an artist learning the palette. You're learning the tools of what to play with. And again, you know, I don't know what goes on at all these places in terms of training people to operate equipment these days, but I know in New York, because of the pandemic, because of this, because of that, it's not exactly as robust as it should be, simply because there are not enough people to do it. And that's where working with these other institutions locally, both educational, community colleges, et cetera, communications workers, great idea. These kind of things can help us out. All right. Does anybody else want to comment on strategy before we close this down and move to executive session?
Jim, this is Heather. I just want to mention, as far as YouTube is concerned, getting things on YouTube is good. I also have a YouTube channel, but the thing is, you have to promote that as well, either on the radio and or articles. I just wanted to mention that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Very important. All right. Well, I will offer that we move to adjourn and move to executive session. Does anybody have any meeting? Is there any new business that people want to bring up? Alex, I'm going to have to mute you. Anybody have any new business? Okay, hearing none. Let me just say the meeting dates. I think I've established it. Beth, I think if you look at KPTFX for the next meeting, it's in a period of time where it doesn't conflict with your development task force. Is that correct?
We had decided as a committee earlier on that we would meet regularly on this, the second Monday of every month, right?
All right.
Is that what you posted?
I believe I have. If not, I'll correct that and make sure that that's done. All right.
Thank
so the next
you.
Meeting will
Thank
be the second Monday of the next month in May. All right. So why don't I make a motion to adjourn to executive session?
So moved and seconded.
All right. Thank you.